Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Why won't you listen? Argue, why won't you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
And you are better off when you're spouting off. We actually believe that around here. It doesn't mean you have to spout off all the time, but when you got something to say, it's best to spout off about it and not be apologetic. I mean, apologies are good, but don't get me started. Anyway, I'm your host, Karen Cataline, and I'm wired today. Feeling good, lots to talk about. It's Tuesday, February 27th, 2018. And if you're listening to this on a podcast, you could be listening to it in April or May or June. You never know, but it's still valuable and important information. And we have a lot to talk about and a couple of fun features as well. Just in case, if you're listening to it live, if you're listening to us live in the lower 48, actually in the other two states as well, but just not Tuesday at 2 or 3 or 4, I will be doing, I've been filling in for the wonderful Jimmy Lakey on 600 KCOL, and I did that this morning. I usually put my podcasts up. And that is a Northern Colorado show, but there's lots and lots of iHeart radio access, and we get listeners from all over. And so I will be on live 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time this Thursday and Friday, March 1st and 2nd. I'm having some very interesting guests, including somebody who's going to talk about teaching the Bible in public schools. Now, you might say, you've got to be kidding. In this environment, you want to teach the Bible in public schools? Well, this particular pastor, and we don't necessarily agree theologically. In fact, we don't. There's some overlap, but his name is Pastor Stephen Grant, great guy who I have gotten to know. And he is heading up, at least in the mountain area, a project to teach the Bible not as religion, but as an elective to students as art and history. And that's pretty important given that the left has tried desperately to X out any mention, anything of the Judeo-Christian heritage. And of course, I like to refer to myself as putting the Judeo in Judeo-Christian. And if you really want to know something of what our founders were informed by, they were informed tremendously by the Bible. So studying that as literature and as art and as our history and as Western civilization is pretty darned important. And so he's going to tell us all about that. I won't have him here as a guest, but if you'd like to listen to that, either that podcast or live, it will probably be taking calls. So tune in for that. And there will be some information there as to how you can get involved if that's something that interests you. Well, what can I say? I can say a lot, actually. It hasn't even been 2 weeks. February 14th, 2018, a horrific mass murder in Parkland, Florida. 14 students gunned down, 3 adults, and yet it's been nonstop politics, nonstop every kind of political posturing you can imagine, some arguments absolutely predictable, some not so much. And we will talk about it because I'm loaded for bear. But one of the things that's really bothered me, among several, is that there's been no moment of national grief, no shock, no horror. We just went straight to the politics. It's always the left that accuses everyone else of going straight to politics, but then they do it faster than anyone. It seemed as if they were already organized, sadly, tragically before bodies have had even been identified and next of kin notified. It was horrific and embarrassing, and I was disgusted by that. And yet, when the left goes on attack in such a shameless fashion, we do answer back, and we will answer back. Everyone does grieve differently, but it wasn't just kids that were being exploited and have continued to be, and that they are, make no mistake about it, they are being exploited. They've been steeped in, they've been marinated in left-wing politics, the hatred of guns, socialism is a better idea, and all the rest. But then they were robbed of any of those moments of national grief and stuck on buses to make them feel like they were doing something. And they turned their grief into anger, and I'm not so certain that the anger was heartfelt, shall we say. I think it was channeled into something else, into a kind of a, well, the battle cry. Look, you know, if this is what kids really believe, you know, so be it. But the notion that they were the only, their opinion were the only ones that are out there is just simply ridiculous and nonsensical. And the opposing point of view wasn't given an ounce of significance, and in fact was, to use a left-wing term, marginalized. But as I was saying, it's not just the kids that are being exploited, it's all of us. We're treated to these shows of outrage, but we're also told how we're allowed to respond, how we're allowed to think about certain issues, or we're being disrespectful. This is all part of the ideological bullying that's been going on. And meanwhile, we treat this period we're going in, and it is, make no mistake about it, we're already seeing the backlash to it. And it's important. I'm glad there's a backlash. But we're treated to this from people who treat life as very cheap. We're supposed to think that because they're outraged, I got off the subject there for a moment, pardon me, I'm just, it's a free association. We're supposed to think that anything they want because they're angry and they are victims, that capital V victim, and they are, if they were in that school, no matter what it is, we're supposed to just accept it. And as I was saying, everybody grieves differently. I'm reminded of my favorite show these days. I love talking about it because it's so anti-Hollywood. I've really gotten to the point where it's almost the only show that I watch except news. And I don't even watch as much of that anymore. I get my news, like a lot of people, in lots of different ways. But my favorite show is Live PD. It's on A&E. I had the pleasure of having two of the cops from there on my show when I was filling in. And Live PD follows around six and sometimes seven police departments all around the country live with film crews. So it's a little like the updated 21st century version of guys that used to listen to police scanners years ago. But this is an eye-opening experience, Live PD. Tune it in. It'll be on only on Friday and Saturday night. There's probably a little bit of a delay for certain things that happen that they may not want us or need us to see, but you never know what happens on the show. Sometimes it's boring. Sometimes it's stunning. Sometimes I was so disgusted last week, I was ready for it to be over. And I watch it. I try to catch it every week. You just never know. And it never ends in a tidy little package. It's always different because you're watching what's really going on. Then they repeat a bunch of them. But there's something about watching it live. There's something about watching live PD on St. Patrick's Day, knowing that this is going on around the country in St. Patrick's Day. It's a way to take the temperature of the public in a very, very limited fashion. So I saw something on live PD last week that really made an impression on me. You never know what these cops are going to go through when they make a police call, when they answer a call. There was a guy, must have been in his 30s. He was crying and he was upset, and he was in northern Florida, in Pensacola, in Pasco County. And he looked like he was going to hurt himself or others. He was distraught beyond belief. And he began by saying, just shoot me now, just kill me. And they kept saying, the police kept saying, we're not going to shoot you. We don't want to shoot you. Why do you want us to shoot you? He didn't have a weapon, but he was clearly very distraught. And it turns out that he was very distraught about the Parkland shooting that had happened many, many hundreds of miles south in Florida. And all he said after they calmed him down, and they were quite successful at calming him down, he said, I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want to hurt myself. I just want you guys to do your job. And he was just distraught at the notion. And when you see that, when you see these are real people's lives, these are real human beings. When I was in the mental health field, I did a lot of counseling, grief counseling, and a whole variety of trauma work, among other things. And it was a given that you never make large, life-altering decisions when you've had a trauma. If you've lost a spouse, if you've lost someone close to you, if you've had some kind of tragedy in your life that has caused you shock, you never go out and move, sell your house, move to Cincinnati or Tahiti. You really refrain from making any drastic decisions. You can do small things. You can take a trip, but don't do anything that's going to have large consequences that you will regret when you've thought more carefully about it. It seems as if we're in a national grief-stricken moment, and it is the left gun grabbers who are taking advantage of it. An argument could be made that they were, pardon the pun, standing at the ready, waiting for such an opportunity. Some people think worse than that, but we don't have evidence. And here's the real thing. I marvel at the left. I really do. You have to really try to be that wrong about that much, that often. There's illustration after illustration after illustration about how the FBI, the law enforcement, people that were probably told to stand down in that tragedy, people with weapons on their hips, didn't go in to save children, save high school students. They heard it going on. Now there's lots of evidence, and I'm not going to go through it all with you, because if you're listening to me, you've probably been following it as much, if not more, than I have, about this idea that that cops were actually doctoring books and criminals so they could get federal funds. That's coming out now. A lot has come out now. And yet they're wrong on everything. And what makes them so married to the wrong narrative, no matter what? What is it that makes them ignore the facts in this case, proving in every single area why citizens need to be able, law-abiding citizens need to be able to defend themselves? They're making the case, and yet they go on and on and on, demonizing the NRA, I ask you, I really want to know. And in fact, if you have a call, we're going to have a wonderful special guest after the break in about another 15 minutes. And we might still take calls. But I ask you, I'm going to ask you a question. If you're listening and you want to weigh in, please do. I ask you, how many high school students, let alone those that have just been traumatized in a mass shooting, being carted up on buses to Tallahassee, how many of them are sophisticated enough to know that they should protest and demonize the NRA because it's conservatives who get money from the NRA? And so even though the NRA had absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with the shooting, and in fact, the NRA does more to teach gun safety. And that is an anathema to the left. They don't want you to feel safe around guns. They want you to hate the gun. They want you to be terrified of it. They want you to think it's the gun that jumped into your hand and pulled the trigger. And most of all, they want us all to think we're all the same, that there is no difference whatsoever between a maniac who, by the way, screamed out for him for help his very own self, and they wouldn't help him. It wasn't just 39 different reports that this guy was going to blow. He called law enforcement. He called for help. They would not help him. So they want us to think that we're all just the same. Now, that's a curious thing about diversity, isn't it? Hasn't it been the left that has always talked about diversity and that they respect differences? Here's the dirty little secret. The left has been putting forth a fraud among others. And one of them is that they respect diversity. What they respect is collectivism. If they can lump you in a group, whatever group you belong to, then that's part of your collective identity. You don't have an individual identity. You only have a collective identity. So if you're Black, you're a victim. If you're white, you have white privilege. If you're an illegal alien, you're a dreamer. This is how they label everyone. So the very notion that they believe in individual freedom and individual diversity, that is what they're trying to stamp out. That's what they want to get rid of. And what is most disturbing is that in order to create that end, in order to make that their utopian reality, I lost track of what I was going to say. Can you believe it? I have so many ideas in my head. I can't keep one of them in. In order to make that a reality, they want to stamp out individualism. I know what I was going to say. I often say the left wants to make victims out of criminals and criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Think about it. They want to make victims out of criminals and criminals out of law-abiding citizens. That way, we're all the same. If they can equalize everything, we're all the same. We all get a C. Nobody gets an A. Nobody gets a D. Nobody gets an F. We all get Cs, except them. They always are calling the shots. That's the dirty little lie of socialism. None of their laws ever affect them or apply to them, only to the unwashed masses. But what an evil ideology, very frankly, to turn criminals into victims and give them a pass while turning law-abiding citizens who only want to feed their families and work hard and do an honest day's work, now suddenly they are the criminals. That, I guess, is how they are able to feel okay about putting law-abiding citizens in danger. Because if you think everybody's all the same, you don't really feel too badly about collateral damage when illegal aliens kill Kate Steinle or anyone else who happens to be standing around. You don't feel too bad when you allow a mass murderer waiting to happen who could shoot up a school and you ignore their cries for help. And then you turn around and claim that the answer to all of that is to get rid of everybody's guns. Do you see the logic or the lack of logic? It's frightening. Now, I think some people are naive to this scheme. I think that this utopian ideology appeals to them. They think if we could just do this, we'd all be better off. But I really don't think that the people who are calling the shots believe for one minute, for example, that they think we all ought to be able to defend ourselves. In fact, if I can find this article before our break, and I still have time, I want to point to, I've got so much stuff here, I'm going to try and find it. I was on the radio this morning and I just went from one thing to another thing. Oh, I'm having so much fun. There is an article, his name is, he's from Maine. It'll get there. I've got a big, long thing. Okay, where is it? Hang with me, I'm finding it. All right, I'll start telling you and then I'll find it. There was an article by someone who decided to tell the truth about what they really think. Now, this is, you know, this is momentous. It's momentous when the left actually tells the truth, because usually what you get is other people saying, shh, 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 shh. We don't really believe in socialized medicine. No, we believe in giving more health care to everybody so everybody will be better off. But don't use that word because we can't afford to tell anybody what we really think. All right, I can't find it. If I keep going, I don't know what I'm going to do. But it basically says it's time that we told the truth about the fact that we really do want to take away your guns, right? I'm still looking. Yeah, we really do want to take away your guns. And, you know, and it's time that we just tell the truth about that. It's stunning. I don't have it. Look it up. It's in Maine. I tried to get the guy on my show. He didn't respond. Maybe he still will, because I'd love to have a debate with him. It would be a civil debate, but I'd like to know why he thinks, number one, that he's appointed himself Lord and Master over the rest of us. Why should every person who's a law-abiding citizen, and most NRA members and First Amendment activists are, because they know how it reflects poorly on everyone if they do anything wrong. That doesn't mean it can't happen. He admits that they want to take away guns. So the incongruity never bothers them, you know? They believe in freedom for pot. Even if one person dies from an abortion, they don't want to outlaw all abortions, right? No, that's a right. It doesn't matter. They don't sit around saying, well, if one person dies of an abortion, everybody is guilty from an abortion? Really? What about illegals? You know, we've had many people die from illegal aliens who were criminals who came here and killed somebody. But they're not willing to stop illegal immigration. I mean, they might say, well, the Dreamers, they're nice people. So they never make broad generalizations about everyone, except when it's an issue that they really, really want to demonize, right? What about texting and driving? Well, a lot of people have gotten killed on the roads, let alone in car accidents, much more than with gun violence. And yet this is what animates them. I know you've heard this argument, which is, well, they're not willing to outlaw cars, except in the far fringes of Agenda 21 they want to. We're all responsible, aren't we, in fact, for giving safe places. This was amazing. I did a story on safe places to shoot up heroin. I think I mentioned it a couple weeks ago. Unbelievable. Far as I know, shooting up heroin is actually illegal. So if you think it ought to be legal, well, go through the normal means. But this is a group that wants safe places for people to shoot up under supervision. That's called suicide on the installment plan, right? But they're not willing to make that illegal. So leftists are not interested in laws. They're only interested in the laws. In fact, the really scary thing is they're out there subverting laws that protect innocent citizens. They subvert the laws. Why? Because then they can replace them with undue voter approval and replace them with utopian socialist laws that are more to their liking. That's a scary thought. So to do this, they have to have a war on individual differences. Individual diversity, not collectivist diversity, but individual diversity. It's a lot of philosophy, I know. But those are some of my thoughts. I was going to give you the phone number, which I shall do. And then after the break, I know that you've had the pleasure of hearing Dr. Martina Cartwright, a wonderful friend of mine, incredibly capable, smart woman. She doesn't wear a sign, a button on her blouse that says, "Me too," or "Time's up." And she doesn't wear pussy hats on her head. She's a wonderfully capable woman, and if somebody does something that is untoward or sexually harassing of her, she tells them to knock it off. That's what she does. Anyway, we have a great deal in common, and she has covered for me on several occasions, and she's here in a second half of our show to talk about a new feature that she is unveiling right here on Spouting Off, and we'll talk about that, and we'll talk more with Martina. If you'd like to ask either of us a question and you're listening to us live, you won't be able to if we're on tape. I say the most intelligent things, don't I? The phone number, we're going to talk to her for a bit, but if you want to call in and chat with us, you're more than welcome to do that. The number is 888-627-6008 or 323-744-4831. Let me say that again, 323-744-4831. We always say toll-free, but, you know, toll-free is not really toll-free anymore because everybody has a cell phone. So you can use either number and you probably won't have to pay for it. At least, I don't think so. Don't quote me on that. We're going to come right back. This is Karen Cataline, your proud and happy host here on Spouting Off, and we're going to be right back.
Hi, I'm Eric, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is President of Hillsdale College, Dr. Larry Arn, on natural rights versus entitlements.
America was founded on the idea that human beings are born with natural rights, such as the rights to life, liberty, and property. A person who holds this view of rights makes no demands on others except that they respect those rights. Today, however, many Americans talk about rights to a college education, state-of-the-art medical care, and even birth control pills. These are rights understood as entitlements, and a person who holds this view of rights, far from making no demands on other people, is making claims on other people's money and resources. This understanding of rights not only sets citizens against each other, but it undermines the whole idea of natural rights.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket Constitution and Declaration, go to ConstitutionMinute.com.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askauntemma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askauntemma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
And we're back. And we're joined by my good friend, Dr. Martina Cartwright, PhD, RD, and probably a whole lot of other letters after your name. Hi, Martina.
Hey there. It's nice to be with you today.
Good. Well, I gotta tell everybody a little about your bio, okay, which is really long. Probably take up the rest of the show if I tell everybody what your bio is. But it says, and I quote, you're an internationally known scientist and speaker, president and CEO of Beacon Science Biomedical Consulting, an adjunct faculty member at the University of Arizona, which is where you're hailing from currently, and with more than 20 years experience in biomedical research and education in areas like infectious diseases, bioterrorism. Now, there's a comical subject, food safety, nutrition, and neuroscience. I could go on, but the really cool thing is that you wrote the foreword to my book.
Yes, I did, and I can't believe it's been as long as it's been, but since then, I think about how many students have contacted us for help on their project.
Yes.
It's been hundreds.
Yes, and I just got two recently, as a matter of fact, and for our listeners, the name of the book is called Fatlash, Food Police, and the Fear of Thin, and Martina has the distinction of coming up with and coining the term princess by proxy, which is a description and an understanding of the syndrome of parents who live through their children, particularly when they put their kids in child beauty pageants. And since I was one of those kids that was put in a child beauty pageant, although I had a parent that did a lot more than that, and they usually do,
Well, think about all these kids in the Olympics right now. I mean, especially some of the ice skaters. It's sort of the same kind of thing.
Well, yes, I think that the ice skaters and the gymnastics are probably the closest because they're glamour sports. And although I have to say that even in gymnastics, although sometimes they cross the line, I'm very, very sensitive to kids that are sexualized in these sports and in these endeavors. I don't have a problem with when kids sing and dance. I don't have a problem when they do all that. What I have a problem with is when they're parading around in glitz pageants with 3 inches of makeup and plumes and the things we saw and we reported on during the toddlers and tiaras, phony boobs and all kinds of things that were just highly and absolutely inappropriate for kids. You know, we were going to talk about the Parkland shooting, and I see a segue here that I'm just going to jump right into, and that is the exploitation of children. What do you think about that, Martina? Did you see those kids on those fancy buses being carted up to Tallahassee to be the mouthpiece for a particular political ideology? You think the left does that at all?
Oh no, not at all. And I know sarcasm is the lowest form of wit, but
yes.
I saw that. And again, this is another chance for the left to exploit a very emotional and tragic situation. And but that's their MO. I saw those kids, and they don't even know that they're being used. And maybe some of them honestly don't care. We're in such a phase right now of everybody wants to be in the spotlight, and tragedy, you know, is one of those ways that some children can be exploited. And I really saw that on CNN in their supposed town hall when they had some of those kids there that experienced that horrible event.
Yeah. And what about that kid who's the son of an FBI, former FBI guy, who seems to have been groomed for this, and then he got caught in a bunch of really ridiculous things. So, you know, when it's not genuine, and you hear him say, not only does he think that we should have stricter gun laws, but it wasn't the police sheriff's, it wasn't the sheriff's fault, right? He mm-hmm. gave the sheriff mm-hmm. a pass. What does he expect? Does he expect that criminals ought to simply run rampant over all of us? I guess he's a budding leftist, so maybe that's what he thinks. I don't think he knows what he thinks.
I just think he doesn't know what he thinks because he's been told what to say. And I think you and I discussed this probably 2 or 3 years ago. I was in a situation, I was teaching part-time at a community college, and I've taught at a lot of community colleges, so I'm not going to say which one it was. For the first time in 20 years of teaching, I had to kick a kid out of my classroom because he was disruptive. And he got right up in my face and started yelling at me. And I was in a classroom where there were no windows, and the door did not have a window. And I'm up at the front of the classroom, and the door's in the back. And so I reported this kid as a potential threat. And the on-campus police did not take me seriously. They said, oh, yeah, we know who he is. And he likes to talk a lot, but we really don't think he's going to do anything.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm in a
classroom. That ought to make you feel a lot better.
With a bunch of kids.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I asked him, I said, so, you know, what if this kid comes in and decides to threaten me, harm me, or harm any of my students? What's your response time? Well, we'd be there right away in 2 or 3 minutes. And I thought, I'm sure you would. So let's just say that
God
I took means
dead.
To protect myself. Yeah.
Right.
And my students. And, you know, sometimes you have to break the rules to protect yourself. And I don't think that people who haven't been in these situations where there have been numerous threats regarding a particular student, nobody takes them seriously, and then you have what happened there with a police force that was supposed to respond but chose not to.
Well, and now we're finding, I had a guest on this morning who said that wonderful woman. I refer everyone to read her piece in The American Thinker. If you want a really good rundown on at least the update of what's been happening with Parkland, she did a terrific job. Her name is Clarice Feldman. And there's a piece in American Thinker, easy to find, that talks about how, well, she said this morning to me, and that was that people, that records are starting to disappear, just like 33,000 emails disappeared. And suddenly people are asking, well, were they told to stand down or not? Were they told, was this the order that was given? Because there are records of that. And now all of a sudden nobody can find them, which means probably they were. And
absolutely.
Federal funding for the Obama mm-hmm. administration, yet another program exposed for the corruption that it is. Why? What do you think about that? So because this guy Cruz had a minority last name, and he wasn't a minority, he was adopted by someone named Cruz, he was given a pass. But given a pass is called neglect. Right?
Well, and absolutely. And again,
I know, I didn't even ask a question there. I'm sorry, Martina.
Well, I'm thinking about what you're saying here is that this is so absurd. And the disappearance of emails, how convenient, like we haven't seen that before. And
right.
So when you start to see this pattern of cover-up and so forth, it just gives more credence to all of us who think that, you know, there's something afoot here. People think we're crazy sometimes, and we say, you know, we sound like a bunch of conspiracy theorists. But they keep giving us all this fodder to come
well,
up with
and
these
it's
theories,
factual.
Especially when things
this is
disappear.
Factual. All that people have to start doing, and I absolutely advocate for sticking to the facts. You can conjecture, but what I encourage people to do is simply ask why. A lot of talk show hosts, they'll report the facts and they'll say this is outrageous, but then you have to go one deeper level and ask yourself, why are they doing this? Is it just because they like minorities and don't like white people? No, it is for an end. There's a reason for this ideology. It's not simply because they don't think people, quote, of color can commit crimes. It's that, why do they want to equalize everybody? Why do they want to punish white people and based on the color of their skin? I mean, this is everything Martin Luther King said we ought not do that is being done today.
Well, and to that point, the kid that I threw out of my class was a minority.
Mm-hmm.
And they
you
said,
racist,
well,
you.
You know, nobody else has thrown him out before. And I said he was disruptive to the other students. They weren't learning. And he wasn't there to learn, and so we're done here. And I thought, okay, somebody's going to report me because the kid was a minority, and that never happened. But they weren't real happy with me. And I said, it doesn't matter what color he is.
No,
he's an
idiot. And furthermore, this is the thing among so many other things that the left doesn't get. You're doing a horrible, racist disservice to that kid. That kid is not getting the proper instruction and the proper feedback about his behavior if he is simply being given a pass. This piece by Clarice Feldman pointed out that gangs began to figure out that they could get away with more crimes at the end of the month than at the beginning of the month because they wanted to keep their statistics low. Is this what people are in the business of law enforcement for? The people I watch on LA, you know, on live PD would be horrified by that. They got into this to protect people. No wonder they're under attack, because if they want to do their job in a place like Broward County, they're told not to do it. You want to hear a soundbite, Martina? And then we're going to get to,
yeah.
We're going to get to, your surprise, because we've been teasing this. We want to have time to do that. Doug, would you play that soundbite of Sheriff Israel and his answer to Jake Tapper? Interesting soundbite. Would love to get your comment. Go.
Are you really not taking any responsibility for the multiple red flags that were brought to the attention of the Broward Sheriff's Office about this shooter before the incident, whether it was people near him, close to him, calling the police
Jake,
on him?
Jake, I could only take responsibility for what I knew about. I exercised my due diligence. I've given amazing leadership to this agency.
Amazing leadership?
I've worked... Yes, Jake. There's a lot of things we've done throughout this. This is you don't measure a person's leadership by a deputy not going into a. These deputies received the training they needed.
Maybe you measure somebody's leadership by whether or not they protect the community. In this case, you've listed 23 incidents before the shooting involving the shooter, and still, nothing was done to keep guns out of his hands, to make sure that the school was protected, to make sure you were keeping an eye on him. Your deputy at the
Jake
school failed. I don't understand how you can sit there and claim amazing leadership.
What are your thoughts about that, Dr. Martina Cartwright?
Wow. Well, I heard that quote before, and I heard this guy go off, and I think what he is saying, and I'm not a mind reader here, but maybe he did provide amazing leadership as far as training, but he didn't follow through on what he needed to do. So this incident illustrates poor leadership because he didn't have control of the situation. Not only his deputies, but also if the kid has been reported multiple times, then that's a failure. It's not only a failure of his leadership, it's a failure of the entire law enforcement community that knew about this kid. In fact, I heard today that even the school said he could not carry a backpack into the school because they were afraid of what he might put in the backpack.
Yeah, if you're already that afraid, then getting into a side door in a school is not exactly a good idea. I would add that if he is passing the buck, there was another quote which you didn't hear in which he said, "Well, I did my job. I give him a gun and I give him a badge, and if he's too cowardly to go in, that's not my responsibility." I would call that not good leadership. The captain usually goes down with the ship or the buck stops here. But in leftist Broward County, which, by the way, guess whose district it is? Did you know?
I did not know.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Wow.
Yeah. And guess
well,
who?
Well, maybe they're using her IT guy to clear all the emails out of there.
There you go. Plus, you've got Sheriff Israel, scary, scary situation, enabling Muslims. This is a guy, just because his name is Israel doesn't mean he's Jewish, but he is. He's Jewish. He's out there helping a Hamas sheriff to teach Muslims in mosques in another county how to exercise their Second Amendment rights. That's true. That was a news story that came out recently. And he was good friends with Hillary Clinton. So this is the model of what the left wants us all to look like all around the country. Welcome to utopian hell, basically.
Well, and it illustrates another point that is largely due to the left, is this lack of personal responsibility and self-reliance, and mostly the self-reliance, because I took matters into my own hands when I had to protect myself potentially as well as my students, which was, quote, you know, could be construed against the rules where I was at the time. But more important for me to take that responsibility since nobody would be there to help me. And I think that's the key difference between the left and everybody else, is that we think in a different way. We are always set and ready to go on that self-reliance. And that
and it's
our
a tough
responsibility
sell.
To take care of ourselves. And if somebody needs help, we'll help them. But falling into this idea that everybody is a victim is not something that resonates with those of us that
it doesn't. And it's a tough sell when you've been told that the government's going to take care of you from cradle to grave or whatever, and that you can't do it. We see that in our family life, where we have enablers who are constantly mollycoddling kids that need some clarity and maybe even some tough love. And we don't. And love isn't always tough. Sometimes it's clarity. It said, this is what's right and this is what's wrong. You want to have a successful life, this is what the kinds of things you need to pay attention to. I could talk to you for 2 hours, but guess what? We need to take some time to talk about this surprise feature. You're going to be a regular feature on Spouting Off every week. How do you like that? You get to have...
I love it.
Some Martina Cartwright every week. Tell us about this feature. What's it called?
Well, I was thinking about all the topics that you and I cover almost on a weekly basis, and I've decided to call my quirky segment A Moment of Reason. So it'll be A Moment of Reason with Martina, and the idea is to have some pithy pondering of cultural stuff, science, and topics that Americans are interested in. So it'll be a little dose of common sense about topics that are of concern to everybody that's listening.
Great. And it's going to be a kind of a short stint on a break of our show. It's going to be what? What, about 3 minutes roughly?
I'd say about 3 minutes roughly. think we can cover a lot of territory in that amount of time.
3 minutes, you can cover a lot of territory. And you'll give people stuff to think about. And you'll give people stuff to ponder. And you never know. You are my go-to friend for fill-ins when I get AM radio and other things. As a matter of fact, I almost called you today. You would not believe it. I was on the radio and somebody called me for an AM fill-in and they said, it's a short notice. Someone called in sick. Can you drive an hour south? I said, oh, if only you had texted me, I would have said yes. And then I would have been calling you to do the whole show instead of half the show.
And I would have done it.
And you would have done it. Let me throw a few. We've got time. And so this feature, by the way, is going to start happening next week. So we'll have a couple of breaks in the show. We'll have like our first break, which we always do, our commercials, which kind of change off. And then we'll have your segment in the third of the show. And we'll have Moments of Reason with Martina. Is that right? Did I get that right?
Yeah, that's right. That's great. And one of my first topics is to talk about all of these alarmists out there. And I have a very special name for them, which I'm not going to disclose until we get to the little segment. But it's a name, it's my little pet name for all these alarmists out there, like Nancy Pelosi and her Armageddon comments and all of these protesters with their touchy chants. It's the same kind of MO. Constantly stirring up trouble on stuff that doesn't matter. But hey, if you don't create problems, you don't have a bigger government and you don't have more control.
That is true. It's incitement. I mean, the people that buy into this stuff and have for the last year that the sky was falling because Donald Trump is president, they've been in a constant state of hysteria since November 8th, 2016. They haven't gotten a break. Now, I have a theory. Tell me if you agree that once people really, and I think it's already starting to happen, people realize that they've been lied to and these same people have been lying to them and lying to them and lying to them. I really think that Trump's approval numbers are going to start climbing in big ways. I don't trust the approval numbers, mind you, because it's the same people, garbage in, garbage out. It's the same people that are constantly telling us a lot of other things that aren't true. But for those, maybe Rasmussen or whatever, I think that when his numbers go up, they're going to go up big, because I have a favorite Latin phrase, Martina. I don't know if I told you, and I've only got we can go a little long, right, Doug? We can go just a little long because I want to give everybody a way to contact you. But I have a new Latin favorite phrase, and that's pretty funny coming from me because I don't know any Latin. I know a few words of Yiddish, and that's it. But this I've memorized. Let's hope I can actually say it. I said it, I think, last week. Falsus in uno, falsus in omnibus. False in one thing, false in everything. Once you realize that they've been lying to you, then you have to throw out all the other garbage they've been lying to you about, much like on a jury when the prosecuting attorney says, if you don't find the witness credible, you can throw out all of their testimony. You do not have to listen to any of their testimony. And yet you have even people on our side listening to them saying that, well, you know, they say, for example, great example, they say that Democrats are going to wipe the floor with us in the 2018 elections. Yeah, they wish. I don't think there was any evidence of that.
That's not going to happen.
Well,
people are
too happy with
what's going on.
Yeah, I mean,
They're too happy with their paychecks.
Yeah, it's utterly ridiculous. Martina, how can people get a hold of you? And you're going to have to put something, a feature on your website, Moments of Reason with Martina. I got to get that straight so I can announce it next week. How can people reach you, get a hold of you?
The best way is by email, and it's just a really easy email. It's martina@martinacartwright.com. That's the best way to reach me. And
that's
I do have a website, which is just martinacartwright.com. And up there. I'll be putting up links to A Moment of Reason, but I look forward to hearing people's comments and feedback.
Wonderful.
And
wonderful.
I hope that it brings something a little bit different to the fray, because there's so much out there. And I know one of the topics I'm going to be discussing is in New York City, there are a couple of obese police officers that are suing the NYPD saying the job made them fat.
Really? I can't wait to hear about this. Doug will have to not talk to me during your segment so I can hear it while I'm taking a drink and, petting the dog between your segments. Martina, it is always great to have you. Thank you for filling in for me when I need to be out of town or otherwise engaged. Although I'm not engaged, just letting everybody know. If people would like to get hold of Spouting Off, you can reach me at www.karencataline.com. Just spell it KarenKataline. Facebook, same. Twitter at Karen Cataline, and that's as much social media as I care to do. Thank you to Doug, my producer, and to BBS Radio. Thanks to HW, the multi-talented guy with the IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when we'll have our very first feature with Dr. Martina Cartwright and Moments of Reason with Martina. There'll be lots more to spout off about next week on Spouting Off.